Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Top of the day to you. How to have a ministry that has no needs, part two. And I want to tell you, if you'll get this revelation, it'll change your ministry. Obviously, the principles cross over to business and personal life as well. But I really wanted to help ministers with this because so many play from behind all the time. And it makes the ministry not fun. Trust me. I didn't come out of my mother's womb with a Falcon 50 that followed behind her out the birth canal. So I started off in the ministry with absolutely nothing, living at my parents' home. And that wasn't for 6 months or a year. Adonis and I had a looking back on it, never felt like it at the time because we were having fun. We only needed enough money to get a sandwich and go to the beach, which was a couple blocks away, and we were happy. But as far as the ministry goes, nothing was flowing. Let me take a drink of this. Thanks for having coffee for me today, guys. If it wasn't here, I probably would have killed myself. Thanks for that. All right. So how to have a ministry that has no needs. What changes everything is revelation from God's word. It sounds too easy. Surely there must be more to it than that. Can I go out to eat with you and hear your real secret? I'm telling you my real secret. That's the whole point of this broadcast. The Bible says, what I say to one, I say to all. What you hear in the house, shout from the rooftops. So things are supposed to be open secrets out of the Bible. And I really want to help you. We're living in a great time in the ministry. You watched on those promos that were being played before. I mean, to start a church 2 years ago and have 1,400 or 1,500 people gather for a week every night and then close to 1,000 in the day is a miracle. And obviously, when you do that, the building takes money. The sound takes money. So when you're in lack, you don't make big plans. You make small plans to accommodate your lack. But those days will end for you after this set of teachings, I believe. That's why I'm doing them. So here it is, How to Have a Ministry That Has No Needs, part two. You can go back and watch part one. But I do want to go over my texts again that I used yesterday. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. Because that sounds like some kind of strong, catchy title. But Psalm 23, is it possible, Jonathan, to have no lack? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not in need of anything. That's the first benefit written in Psalm 23 for serving the Lord. I don't lack. I don't have any lack. You know, you take a ministry, and I don't like bringing up specific ministries, but you know, you take somebody that would be on the other side of the ministry spectrum from me, like John MacArthur, that is openly anti-prosperity, but you look at his church and ministry, they don't have lack. So even somebody that's not even going after it, when you serve the Lord and make him your shepherd, I want you to write that in the comments. When the Lord is your shepherd, that means you allow him to lead you. That the Lord will always lead you to multiplication, expansion, and increase. That's not true. Paul went to prison. That's right. And by the end of that stay in prison, the jailer was converted to Christ. And Bible scholars tell us that he became the pastor of the Philippian church. Anywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, you'll be on land that I've given to you. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. Luke 22, 35, 36, 37. When I sent you, lackest thou anything? Nope. They never lacked anything. Then one that I skipped, Philippians chapter 4. Paul said, not that I was ever in need. Let's read that. How to have a ministry that has no needs. Is that scriptural? Philippians chapter 4. I believe it's verse 11. Let me see, not that I speak in respect of want. Let me see NLT. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Let me see 12. I'll read probably through verse 15. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, plenty or little. 13. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the gospel, then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. 16. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you helped me more than once. 17. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. 18. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They're a sweet-smelling sacrifice that's acceptable and pleasing to God. 19. And this God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us, not will be given to us, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So verse 11, not that I was ever in need. And the same God who takes care of me, verse 19, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? And they replied, no. This same God that supplies all my needs. That's three scriptures right there. Then Deuteronomy 28, I will fill your storehouses with grain. When you hearken to do all that I've commanded you to do, your storehouses will be filled with grain. That means before the need arises, the provision's there ahead of time. So number one, which we covered, the law of geography. Go and sit by Kereth Brook, 1 Kings 17. Your provision is tied to a place. These are all things we covered yesterday. Number two, there's a widow there who will feed you. Number two, the law of right people. Paul's needs weren't magically supplied. There was a guy named Epaphroditus sent from the Philippian church that came, he said, more than once and supplied him. So there's people that God will knit to your life that supply needs. Ram DaCosta is in the back doing media. He heads up that room. He was somebody that God sent that supplied a need. We had plans and vision to do things in media, but we didn't have anybody to handle it. And he started that whenever, 2015, 2016, 2017 in there. What year was it, Ram? 2015. So coming up on 10 years. The law of right people. God has right people for you. Number three, we talked about Diotrephes, and that we've talked about him for about an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm not going to get back into that. I'll get back into it a little. 3 John 9 and 10. 3 John only has one chapter. 3 John verse 9 in the NLT, and then verse 10. Thank you for being on with me today, Richard, Marie, Cordelia. You're an encouragement. Bella, Sandra, great to see you. Great to see you on X. 3 John 9 and 10. 9. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. 10. When I come, I'll report some of the things he's doing and the evil accusations he's making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. 11. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Those who do evil prove they don't know God. Let me see 10 again. This fellow Diotrephes, not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers He also tells others not to help them. And when they do help them, he puts them out of the church. So that Diotrephes spirit was in the first century church and was rebuked. And it's still around today. Love you too, Pastor Corey. That there is this hatred for traveling ministers. Now, I'm a pastor. I pastor here full-time in Pittsburgh and full-time in Fort Worth, Texas. But I'm also an evangelist. When I finish church this Sunday, I'm flying to Vancouver, British Columbia, and I'm going to start there and speak. Thank you, Alyssa. Thanks for the nice words, everybody. I'm going to speak in Vancouver Sunday night, then Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., and then I'll be back for church. So I see things from both sides in the ministry. I know what it takes to be an evangelist, for sure. And then I've been pastoring for 2 years, and God's given us good success. And I know that end of it because our church probably has about a $10 million budget at this point, even though it's only 2 years old. So I understand the money aspect from both sides. And law number three is don't be a Diotrephes. Tithe and sow. I was talking to the head of a ministry yesterday, and he was telling me, it's a ministry that's not set up like mine. They have a board of directors that you know, he's new. He's a new leader at the ministry. And I asked him, because that ministry is having financial trouble. I said, does that ministry tithe? Well, we've been doing better. That's a yes or no question. And I want to ask you this in the ministry. Does your ministry tithe? If your ministry doesn't tithe, you can pray and fast all you want. You are not going to have your needs met. And the litany of ministries that take their offerings from the standpoint of need. You know, we need, as many of you know, our speaker blew out on our sound system. They said a new speaker is going to be $3,500. And, you know, we don't have that. When I see need and lack, I just assume the people don't tithe. I know that sounds harsh, but God said that when you tithe, not your needs will be met. See if I won't open the windows of heaven, tithe and give offering. And pour out a blessing that's so great, you won't have room enough to take it all in. We took in $21 million last year, $21.3 million. And we gave $6.4 million. Can somebody do the percentage of that real quick for me? I'll do it. 6.4 divided by 21.3. That's right at 30%. Just a little over, a hair over 30%. 30% is not tithe. So in this ministry last year, we tithed, then gave an additional 20%. And that was with a $19 million budget. So it's not, well, Brother Jonathan, I'd like to do that, but you know, we have quite the bills to pay. Yeah, me too. God gets his cut first. The first of everything that comes in goes to God. If you're waiting for some magic day where you have $100 million in the bank, first of all, if you can't tithe now, you won't tithe then. You think you can't tithe off of your $8,000 Sunday morning offering? You can't give $800 out to other ministries? And then you think all of a sudden $10 million is going to come in and you're going to write a check for $1 million? You won't do it. The Diotrephes spirit keeps all the money in the ministry. That's why he didn't want traveling ministers coming in. That's why he put people out of the church that would help traveling ministers. If he will not welcome them, and then when he hears that's awesome, Sandra. Looking forward to hearing from you. If he hears that anyone is privately supporting those ministers, he revokes their church membership and puts them out of the church. See, that's a spirit. I want you to write in the comments and in your notes, the Diotrephes spirit. Some of you have that spirit as in the ministry, and it's why you have needs. Because what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. There's a church that had in Bishop Dag Haywood Mills. You know what they gave him after he finished all his preachings at their church? Knowing he does all those crusades and everything and oversees 6,000 churches? They gave him $2,000 from a big church. You're going to lack. There'll be a curse that comes on your finances because if you mistreat God's servants, it's not good. And, you know, wasn't it, when you come from Ghana and go fly to another continent to go preach, you know, don't tell me you don't know what an international airline ticket costs. If I could get a little air conditioning. It's going to be almost 70 today. How do you do that? I told you about my father going to preach at a church and they gave him this is last year. 65 years old, flies from Maine to another state far away, and they give him $1,000. He lost money on the airplane ticket, let alone anything for the ministry. You're a Diotrephes. You're either wicked or you're stupid, or both. But even best case scenario, if you're just stupid, you should work on that. This year at What No Eye Has Seen, we're having Matthew Ashimaloa in. He lives in London and he lives in Nigeria. He has two bases of operation. I know what it costs. And if I didn't know, I'd look it up. And I know what he has going on. You should care about what other ministries are doing besides your own ministry. And your care should be reflected in your giving. How to have a ministry that has no needs, part two. Don't be a Diotrephes. Tithe and sow. Genesis 14. The Bible says that Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek and then paid all his men. So you don't pay all your bills and then tithe. You tithe off the top, then pay. People are writing their tithing testimonies in the comments. Let me read it. I would like to know the percentage of ministers who tithe. I bet it would be shockingly small. And I would like to know the percentage of ministers who tithe that closed their church for the COVID lockdowns. I bet you almost every pastor that closed their church for COVID doesn't tithe. You know why? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when you see people that have no heart to keep the work of the Lord going, I don't believe they have money in it. And on the flip side, I would like to see the percentage of pastors that went to jail and stuff who are tithers. You know, I draw a salary from our ministry. I tithe off of everything that comes into the ministry, take a salary from that, and Adonis takes a salary, and we both tithe off of our salaries. So it's tithed on twice. Business tithe, personal tithe. Ministry tithe, personal tithe. Law number three, don't be a Diotrephes. Tithe and sow. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, Malachi 3:10, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of hosts, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so great that you won't have room enough to take it all in. Try it and let me prove it to you. That's the problem that we face in our ministry, is the problem that tithers have. Not enough chairs for butts, not enough parking spaces for cars, Not enough land and room in the building for the crowds that come in. Call from PNC Bank to please use their main office because our local branch is not set up to handle multi-million dollar accounts of your kind. Not enough room to take it all in. Then the only place he said it. Try it and put me to the test. Why as a minister are you trying to limit what goes out as a pastor? Well, some of the guys on our board are not for tithing. Then either get the guys off the board or resign and go start another work. How can two? You know, I don't believe you. There'd be nobody on my board ever who was opposed to tithing. And if they were, they'd get off my board. I'd get them off. So I don't believe you believe in tithing. You know, do you keep people around close to you that are totally opposite of you? You know, my wife, she's a good lady, but she's heavy into Satanism. It's starting to hurt the ministry a little bit, but she's, no, you marry people and you bring people on your board and you walk with people where you have an equal yoke with them. Stop making excuses. How to have a ministry that has no needs. Number three, tithe and sow. Then when it comes to offerings, the level of your giving is what produces the level of your receiving. We don't have massive amounts of money come in because I'm good at taking offerings. We have massive amounts of money come in because I give massive amounts of money. Patrick, that runs the finances for our ministry, showed us that in the last 5 years or so, every year, what comes in the next year is 8 to 10 times whatever we gave the year before. So once I realized that it's actually my giving that's producing what comes in, then I just make sure to keep giving. We called two of our church members at Christmas time. I was playing video games and the thought just came to me and I just did it and told them, hey, for Merry Christmas, we're paying off whatever you owe on your house. Give. What you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. Good to see you guys. What class are you coming from? Gospels. And who's teaching homiletics? When is it? When is the homiletics class? Every Wednesday or every day? Hey, Pastor Sammy, good to see you. A non-tithing ministry will always be a begging ministry. If your ministry doesn't pay tithes, you will always be taking offerings and trying to raise money and having spaghetti dinners and fish fries and car washes. Thanks, Bobby. You and your husband are awesome. I want you to write it in your notes. A non-tithing ministry will always be a begging ministry. It's a spiritual law. Friends and partners. Now, I've proved, you know, you can't really argue with me because number one, it's in the Bible. Number two, I've proved it. Find a reel on Instagram where I've ever said, we have a financial emergency. If we don't receive X amount of dollars by the end of this week, we don't know whether we're going to be able to go on. Find it. Find any communication from me where we need a new HVAC system. Did you know this building was given to us that we're in? $5.3 million. Then the former owners found out the HVAC needed replaced and replaced it themselves without telling us after it was ours. $400,000+. That's what you get when you tithe and give offerings. Airplane given to me. Then somebody wired $151,000 to the ministry and wrote in the memo for jet fuel. Jesse Duplantis told me on the phone that the last 5 times he took his new plane out, a businessman at the airport asked if he could fill it up with, if he could top off the gas for him and filled it up 5 times in a row. Not a Christian. Return to me in the tithe and the offering. And if you do, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to take it all in. Now, people should know this, but they don't. Notice Brother Jesse wasn't sitting home and somebody came and filled his tank up for him. You should be on the move. You don't tithe and then quit working. You know, if I have to hear one more person, what do you do after you've sown and you're not really seeing anything come in? You get a job. That's what you do. Then you start seeing things come in because you get paid the 1st and 15th of every month. But then God will begin to bless. I will bless the work of your hand. The thing that you do, it is what God anoints. That's the vessel that brings in the fish. Peter didn't stand on the shore and lift his hands and pray in tongues and net fulls of fish came on the shore. He went back into his boat, went out and did work, but this time his work was blessed. Jonathan, I'm the guy from Evangel Cathedral that was in the back row, the boiled peanut guy from North Carolina. I was just wondering why you came back to your row to pray for you, because I felt your faith. That's why. I like you. Number three, don't be a Diotrephes, tithe and sow. And you might as well cover this while you're at it. I was trying to just breeze through these. 2 Corinthians 9, you can put these up in the King James. Verse 6 in the NLT. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each determine in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me see 6. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. That's why we take offerings. That's why at this ministry we don't charge tickets and never will. Because the Bible doesn't say, let the board decide what's going to come in for a ministry. It says, let every person purpose in their heart what they're going to give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. Write that down. Always having all sufficiency in all things. How to have a ministry that has no needs. That's not clickbait or a strong title. Boy, Jonathan really believes in prosperity. No, that's basic Christianity. That if you tithe, and then give as directed by the Spirit, you will always have all sufficiency in all things, that you may always abound to every good work. When you're in lack, you don't abound to every good work. When you have more than enough, you can abound to every good work. Number 4. So number 3, don't be a Diotrephes. Tithe and sow. The tithe is 10%. Offerings are what you give on top of the 10%. Thanks, Pastor Jeff in Connecticut. Love you, man. One of the last places I went before the lockdown. Number 4. Number 3, don't be a Diotrephes. Number 4, attack the Diotrephes spirit. Refuse to accommodate poverty in any way. Let me see 3 John verse 9 in the NLT. Third John verse 9. I wrote to the church about this, but let me go back to verse 5. Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them, so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this. So God has a way. Money is supposed to go out from believers to people that are traveling and preaching the gospel. But Diotrephes refuses to listen to us. I wrote to it. He won't listen. 10. Not only will he not listen, he refuses to welcome traveling teachers and tells other people not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Number 4, attack the Diotrephes spirit. There is a demon spirit that tries to boa constrictor your finances in the ministry to force you out of the ministry. Whatever you don't stand against has a right to conquer you. My grandfather had his 4th son and asked for a $5 a month raise at the Assembly of God Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and they voted it down. You're demon possessed to do that. You know, all those people are dead now, so it's not like I actually am angry about it, but it's demonic. How can somebody vote down a $5 a month raise? Then fire him. If you like him that little, don't have him as your pastor. That's demonic. Somebody would have to be influenced by a demon to say, no, we will not give you $5 more a month. Good to see you, Pastor Stan Pody, one of the best pastors in America. If you're anywhere near Ruston, Louisiana, you should go to his church. Anything you don't resist has a right to remain. What you don't confront, you'll never conquer. Some of you have seen that they've posted some of the clothes I wear online and told how much it costs. Did you ever notice? Now, one of the things they posted was a Gucci vest puffer, you know, to keep you warm. And they wrote the price was $3,600. That was the first I found out how much it costs. I went to a church and somebody gave me that as a gift. But did you notice I didn't say someone gave that to me? I refuse to say that because you're almost apologizing. Well, that was a gift. No, you know what I said? I wrote an apology to that website and said, I'm sorry that you saw me wearing that. It was laundry day. That's actually the least expensive thing I've ever worn on the broadcast. You don't like me being blessed? I'll come back in a solid gold puffer just to give a middle finger to that Diotrephes spirit. You stand against it. I was listening to my Uncle Ted preach, and he must have picked up a whiff, or somebody said something about if it be God's will, or said something that was pro-sickness. He went at that crowd. He's not going at the people. It's a spirit of unbelief. And it's a spirit of poverty that keep ministers poor and force them out of the ministry and tell their kids to do good in school so they can be doctors and lawyers and don't have to be a preacher and suffer like they're suffering. It's demonic. Totally demonic. That's why I show my airplane. That's why I don't hide my watch. I wear this hat as a message to that spirit. No, I'm kidding. It's a brand called Feature. Go to war against the Diotrephes spirit. Our church is nice. We dress nice. We have the best. There's been people trying to cause us problems at one of our location. I had limousines, SUV limousines and Sprinter vans pick our people up to shuttle them for parking. That's a middle finger to that spirit. If people think I'm too blessed now, they should stick around for another 5 years. I'm just getting warmed up. We'll have testimonies this year that if you were having problems with the testimonies we have now, you're going to be on blood pressure medication in about 3 months. I'm not ashamed of healing. I'm not ashamed of holiness. I'm not ashamed of righteousness. I'm not ashamed of joy. I'm not ashamed to speak in tongues. I'm not ashamed of financial abundance. If your father gives you a coat of many colors, don't keep it hung up in the closet because your brothers don't like it. That's a good point. Gina said in the comments, the people that talk about the love of money, it seems to be all they talk about. That's right. I didn't post my watch up and how much it costs. Other people that are against prosperity, but all they think about it, they know how much watches cost. They know how much a Gucci puffer is. I just put it on and zipped it up. But I want you to know, some of you, if you were given a plane, you would hide it. You wouldn't know what to do. If they find out we have the plane, you know. Now, many of you heard in our congregation that I have a plane. It's not, it's the ministries, and we only use it for the preaching of the gospel. You know, what are you apologizing for? What do you have to give some dissertation because you have something nice? Many of you know I was photographed wearing a Rolex. You know, that Rolex was given to me. But when they attacked me online, I said, well, it was a gift. I'll buy a second one. I could buy one right now. I could buy a few right now. I'm not apologizing because I have something the Bible said would come to me as I do what God tells me to do. And I also want to tell you a second thing. Then we have people that are like me a lot, believe it or not, a lot of you that are watching, that you'll see me get attacked and you'll write, nobody deserves that plane more than him, or nobody deserves that watch more. I didn't get it because I deserved it. I get it because I do what walking in the steps God tells you to walk in produces a blessing. I don't care. It's one of the things I have in this book, 35 Questions for Those Who Hate the Prosperity Gospel. You don't believe in prosperity? Can you not clearly see in the Bible, disobedience leads to a financial curse and obedience leads to a financial blessing? Hi, Irene. Good to see you. Thank you for your seat, Irene. Sorry I couldn't greet you. I was in the middle of changing for the service. I didn't want to get arrested by opening the door. Thank you. Now you talk about giving and the differences in countries. Only in West Africa do they find out what hotel room you're staying at and knock on the door and say, I have a seed to sow. And then I couldn't answer the door because I was changing. And she had to go, so she slid it under the door and didn't even like stay for prayer or anything. So there's differences in people. Some people get mad that the church is receiving an offering. Some people go find a preacher at his hotel room to give an offering. I guarantee you Diotrephes never did that. If Diotrephes found out she was doing that, he would have tackled her, took the seed out of her hands. That belongs in the local church. You know, there's people who say all giving should be done to the local church. I pastor two local churches. All giving is not supposed to go to the local church. You have not disobeyed God if you give to Dag Haywood Mills. If you send, my dad's an evangelist, if you send money to Lost Lamb, you're not out of the will of God. These are traveling teachers. Were they out of the will of God when the Philippians sent Epaphroditus loaded down with gifts to go bless Paul? No, they weren't. These traveling teachers take nothing from unbelievers, so we should support them. Brothers, you are doing well when you take care of those that are traveling for the Lord. And you're out of the will of God and doing poorly when you don't take care of those who travel for the Lord. How to have a ministry that has no needs. I would like, if I was sitting with you individually as a minister, I would ask you, number one, do you tithe? Number two, and I mean tithe. Don't come up with some creative thing you do. I don't tithe out of Revival Today Church into the Revival Today Evangelistic Ministry and then tithe out of the Revival Today Evangelistic Ministry into Revival Today Church. That's just taking money out of my right hand and putting it into my left hand, switching pockets. I'm talking release it. What ministries do you support? How much a month? We have 10 missionaries we support at $20 a month. Our goal is to do 20 missionaries by the end of this year. $20 a month, why don't you just do zero? It's basically the same. That's a joke. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Attack the diatrophy spirit. Refuse to accommodate poverty in any way. Refuse to accommodate poverty in any way. Number five. Let me have some scriptures up. Nehemiah 2. I'll get this one myself because it's a long one. Nehemiah 2, 1 through 20. I'm just going to have you mark that down. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. Nehemiah 2, 1 to 20. Let me see Nehemiah 4, 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. Chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished. Just 52 days after we had begun, 16. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Number five, embrace the law of vision. Nehemiah got a vision, chapter 2, 1 to 20, to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and it attracted help from everywhere. Embrace the law of vision, and you'll never have to raise money. Pastor Stephen Lee, I'm looking forward to seeing you this year, my friend. You're a good man. Vision. Why did people donate this building? They believed in our vision. Why did people donate 24.8 acres? They believe in the vision. Why do people give all that they give jet fuel money? They believe in what I'm doing. Nobody wants to give to a roof. Please hear what I'm telling you. Embrace the law of vision. Never go after needs. No one's interested in paying off a debt. People don't even want to pay their own debts, let alone your debts. Oh, we had an electrical unit that short-circuited, and we need to replace that immediately. They told us it's going to be about $41,000 if we could have. Nobody wants to give to an electrical unit. Nobody wants to give to a hot water heater. We have all those things. I have those things. I have to pay for those things. You never hear me. Did you ever hear me say how much it's going to cost to prepare the 24.88? Nobody cares. Nobody wants to give to that. Nehemiah told people about the vision. We're going to build this wall. We're going to restore the city of Jerusalem. The exiles, the Jewish exiles, are going to be able to come back home and inhabit their homeland. Let's get that done. That made it happen so fast, it frightened their enemies. 52 days, the whole thing was done. Even the king that was the one that had them in exile, when he heard Nehemiah present his vision, said, I'm going to help you make it happen. What's the vision of your ministry? Many ministries that are in need are in need. They lack finances because they lack a vision. Your church exists to exist. I know these lights aren't free. No one gives a, then shut them off. How many know there's, even though this church is debt free, there's expenses and the carpeting needs replaced? No, that's, you have nothing. What are you doing? You ever hear me talk on Sunday mornings? This church is going to be a divorce-free zone. This church is going to be a cancer-free zone. This church is going to be a place where families are restored and children are delivered and the sick are healed. That's what people, that's what entices. People are looking to give to a vision, not to maintenance. How many know the bus we use to pick up the kids, the tires are getting kind of worn down. We're going to have to replace those. Going to be about $1,100 a tire. That's $4,400. Ah! And that's how they taught, it's not your fault. That's how they taught you to take offerings. Present a need. We have a crusade coming up. It's going to be $60,000. We need to raise that $60,000. Yeah, then you pay that $60,000 and you're back at zero. You'll never get ahead going from need to need. And to speak the vision, you have to have a vision. What's your vision? Vision attracts everything. When I took a Sunday and told about our youth group and how the world's targeting teenagers to confuse their minds and get them on, and this church is going to have a student ministries that's going to have hundreds of students that are, that don't have that. And if you plug your children into this ministry, they're going to turn out to be stars. Youth group went immediately from like 65 to 130. Vision.
How many know Pastor Jay and Maddie? You know, they're going, if you want to send your, if everything's if you want, if you want to send your kids, we're having Sunday night if you'd like to come, if you'd like to fast. There's no, who's going to help me? Who will follow my example like King David?
I have a vision. I'm building a temple. Who's going to get on board? Your ministry, write this under this. Your ministry must be taking ground. Should never repeat a year. There should be new things happening. New exciting things. That's awesome, Sean. See you in Vancouver next week. Your ministry must be taking ground versus a ministry that maintains their ground. Nobody cares about giving to a history. This church has been here for 80, this will be our 85th anniversary. Congratulations. I'll send you an ice cream cake so the building can blow out the candles. What are you doing right now? Number five, take people on a journey. Your ministry should take people on a journey. Even when Adonis and I first started out in evangelism, every summer we were going to Hawaii to a town that didn't have a church, and we ended up building a church there. So when I came, I said, now this summer, if you'd like to come and make a difference in a town in America that has no church, and told how God opened the door and healings that took place there, we were invited there by the government to hold meetings. So you weren't just helping me get from Oklahoma to Idaho. You were helping see America change. Then we were doing the outdoor crusades. And so there was something, if you were getting behind me and Adalys, you were getting behind something that was doing something to change the country that you lived in and change the world. And you could come and be a part of it as well. There was never, I mean, you know, we just had Camila and she's one and those diapers aren't cheap. Now I have an extra mouth to feed. So does everybody else. People aren't giving to help you survive. They will, just like there's homeless people on the street. You don't give them $10,000. If you give them anything, give them $5, maybe $20 at the most. That's the kind of money you give when somebody says, I'm hungry. And so if your ministry's offerings are, I'm hungry, I have a car that needs gas, you get $5. If your ministry is, we're going to take that stadium and pack it with people, and we're going to see over 1,000 people give their life to Jesus Christ on night one, will you help us see America saved by the power of God? That's a different level of giving. I'll throw this in. Film everything you do and film it in high quality and have it produced well. And whatever you pay on that, if you have it produced correctly where it pricks people's hearts and they see. It's one thing to tell people that 2,000 people gave their life to the Lord. It's another thing to start showing their individual testimonies. It's a proof that you're not lying, and it moves people to see someone crying, saying, I received Jesus tonight. I've never felt like this before. Picture's worth 1,000 words, so a video's worth 1 billion words. Julie, man, this Canada meeting is going to be a big meeting. I can already tell. Thanks, Tracy, Lynn. Take people on a journey. Where is your ministry going? Do you know where your ministry is going? Come to our Wednesday night Bible study. It'll be a blessed time. Amen. Wow, what a selling point. What's happening Wednesday night? Why should someone all... See, I'm going to tell you the problem with most ministers and most pastors is they think that people owe them their attendance. Good morning, Lincoln, Nebraska. They think people owe them to be there at their church. Why wasn't the Johnson family there today? Why wasn't the Smith family there? Why should they be there? Well, they should be faithful. Yep, they should, but that's not going to put any butts in the seats. You have to earn the crowd, and you have to re-earn them every Sunday. People don't owe you to be at your church. You earn them. They don't owe you. You earn them by the quality of the job that you do. If attendance is down, people aren't faithful. No, maybe you suck, so get better. That's how I feel for myself. Where is it? Why don't they come to our church? Why would they? I have to earn them. See, that is something you learn as an evangelist, is nobody's coming back Monday if you suck. They'll be there Sunday, but if you do a week of meetings, if you suck, nobody's coming Monday. If you suck again on Monday, really nobody's coming Tuesday. And if you suck again on Tuesday, the pastor's going to tell you, you know, maybe we'll just end the meeting early. You know, that maybe this wasn't really the right time. You have to you have to hit it. If you don't hit a home run on Sunday and another home run on Monday, that you can't hit singles as an evangelist. You have to smack it. So I think that is one thing that helped me as a pastor is I take that same mentality into Sunday morning. So anyway, earn them. Make it a place. No, I'm not missing church on Sunday. I love it there. God touches me at that place. And you won't really have to worry about attendance much. 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 1, this is one of the best offerings ever received in the Bible. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for the building of the temple of my God. Now there's enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, now. So he already had enough to build it. But now, out of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I've already collected for his holy temple. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver. If you do the math on this, David gave about a $6 point something billion offering. personally. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Who will follow my... Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, the king's administrative officers, all gave willingly for the construction of the temple of God. Because of my affection, we're going to build God a home. I've given of my own private treasury. Now who will follow my example? And then everybody lavishes more gold and silver, even though they already had enough to build it, and built one of the wonders of the world. That wasn't coming from need. He told him, we already have enough for the building. I'm doing more. I've emptied my whole checking and savings account. I've given $6 billion of my personal money. Who will follow my example? And the Bible says the leaders all gave willingly. How does it end? Keep going. 8. They also contributed numerous precious stones. 9. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. The people rejoiced. That's how you get a happy offering.
We found out we don't have enough wood for the temple. If anyone knows, someone.
If you approach offerings from lack, your offerings will have lack. Nobody gives to tires. Nobody gives to buses. Nobody gives to roofs. They give to a vision. And then in giving the vision, you can tell about the cost of something. But that can't be the motivator that you owe X amount of dollars by Friday. Nobody, sadly, people should care. They don't care. I'm telling you. But vision sparks something in people. And when you're young, starting out in the ministry, you have the ability to do that. People like that somebody's 21 and they're I'm going to do something about this problem in America. We're going to set addicts free. There's a guy watching on online. When I went down to West Virginia with my friend Pastor Luke Brueger, and we rented that amphitheater and said, we're going to put a stop to the heroin epidemic, and started preaching and people getting saved. On the day off on Saturday, I took Camila out for ice cream, and a guy walked over that owns a furniture store and gave me a check for $10,000. I like what you're doing. See, people are watching, believe it or not. Let me show you another thing. Back up on number 4, attack the diatrophy spirit. There's a preacher that wrote a song, and the song got picked up by Jimmy Swaggart. And Jimmy, this is in the 80s, and Jimmy Swaggart started singing his song. So, and Jimmy Swaggart was moving millions of records. So he got royalties and got a big royalty check. So he's an evangelist. He said, I want a Cadillac. I've always wanted a black Cadillac. So he bought a Cadillac. And before he bought the Cadillac, another preacher told him, and I know both preachers, you're only 30 years old. You should be careful getting that Cadillac. People aren't going to give if they see you driving around in a Cadillac. But he bought it anyway. So, well, if they don't give, I'm getting these royalty checks. Doesn't really matter anyway. And he said that was the first time his offering started. He started to have people hand him $10,000 checks in the offering. People don't give to lack. People don't give to need, really. They'll give, like I said, $5, $20. If you think I'm wrong, go walk into any Catholic church or whatever kind of church that has like a glass box where you can give in the lobby and see if you can find anything bigger in there than a $5 bill. Maybe there'll be $120. You will not see any hundreds. And you definitely won't see any checks. $5,000, $10,000, $25,000, $150,000. People don't give to need like that. I guarantee you I could take one offering at a small church and have more come in than PBS has come in their entire national week-long fundraiser to help keep PBS on the air, because people don't give to that. That's why they have to do it every 2 weeks or whatever, every month. Number 6. So anyway, the law of vision as opposed to the quagmire of approaching everything from needs. Number six, the law of total dependence upon God. And I'll close with this. The law of total dependence upon God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's see if I can remember this off the top of my head. Verse 5. Yep. Number six, the law of total dependence upon God. Write that down. The law of total dependence upon God. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength. Not it's a lesser way. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength. And in so doing, they turn their hearts away from the Lord. The bank said that they're going to give us a loan for $10 million to start our building. So, you know, we were very thankful for them. And I was able to meet the banker. Yeah, that doesn't exactly bring you into the prayer room. It brings you into a mortgage room. The law, trusting in people, brings a curse. That's why many churches are cursed. That's why they have lack. They can't see it. How much lack and debt do you have to have before you realize you're doing things the wrong way? You're not being attacked by the devil. The devil can't curse who God has blessed. Don't blame the devil. Blame you. Even if it is the devil, you have the power to shut the door on him anytime you want. Thanks, Melissa. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans and rely on human strength. See that guy in the fourth row? Without his giving, we don't know what we would do. You know, that's why you never hear me make an announcement. Without your giving, this church wouldn't be able to do what it does. Then you are telling the people that you depend on them. And you never hear me say, that on the road at church. Please give. Without your giving, nothing we're doing would be possible. No. Want to hear the opposite? If everyone stopped giving, nothing we're doing would slow down, because our ministry was not formed by people. Our ministry is a mandate and a commission from God. And what God orders, God pays for. Six. Wakey, wakey. Jeremiah 17:6. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in a barren wilderness, in an uninhabited and salty land. So if your ministry has lack, answer this question. Do you tell people that? Hey, Mike, I know I've told you this before, but we're so glad that you come to this church. You know, you've been a major blessing, and this church wouldn't have survived without you. God's up and I'm going, Okay, then enjoy Mike. Seven, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Praise God. Happy to be envied in the Amplified is what blessed is. Happy and to be envied. Praise God. How many of you feel the blessing of God on your life even just reading that scripture? What a joy to trust in the Lord. Praise God. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Confidence. No, obviously we have those scriptures, but then, you know, we need five. No, you don't have any confidence in God. You know how to quote some Bible verses, but you don't trust the Lord for anything.
I think I have something in the back of my throat. I'm going to go get it checked, see what the scan says. No, I know the Bible says by his stripes, amen, but you have zero trust. You know how to quote a couple scriptures out of Isaiah, but you don't have any trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not under your own understanding. Acknowledge him in everything you do. He will show you which path to take. Have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Thank you, Jesus. 8. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried about long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The law of absolute dependence upon God. Praise God. Can you guys go on my dad's website, lostlamb.org? And pull up his mission statement and put it on the screen whenever you can. Take your time. LostLamb.org. Then he has his mission statements on there somewhere. The law of absolute dependence upon God. Well, you got to use wisdom too. There's no higher wisdom than believing God's word and acting on God's word. That is actually the personification of wisdom. I know you trust in doctors, but they have a morgue in the bottom for a reason. Our goal, independence upon God. Our goal is to lead 1 million people to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission, independence upon God. The mission of Lost Lamb Evangelistic Association is to present the message of Christ to all we can, using every means available. All of our strategies are built on obedience to Christ's own mission. Our vision, preach the gospel, independence upon God. We want to win as many people as possible to Jesus Christ in North America and throughout the world. Mobilize the church, independence upon God. We want to emphasize, equip the next generation, independence upon God. You think my dad has an understanding of that law? He won't even write a paragraph without beginning the sentence with it. Dependence on God. Hallelujah. That's what fasting and prayer is. It's birthed out of dependence upon God. I'm starting a new year, and I'm not starting it without you and your direction. I don't have goals. I need your plan. Lord, I'd like to do this, this, and this. Please help me. What did Moses say when he came out of Egypt? If you won't go with us, I'm not going. I'd rather stay a slave in Egypt than go out and launch this thing without you. If you're not coming, I'm not going. Now, when you have absolute dependence upon God, he said he'll supply all your needs. Follow my train of thought here. Number one, write down, I have absolute dependence upon God. Number two, because I do, he has supplied all my needs. Number three,
in order to secure a mortgage or loan, comma, a need is required. Number four, since I have no needs and never will have any needs, I'll never require a mortgage or loan. That's how you live debt-free. See, people think for everything you're going to do, it requires, if you're going to do anything big, you know, obviously we don't have the money to buy it. What does the Bible say about you having money to do anything? God called me to start a church. God delivered the building. I never let anything come out of my mouth. We're going to have to take, I let the opposite come out of my mouth. We will never require the services of any mortgage or bank. I said this, I didn't start saying this when we got the stuff. I got the stuff because I started saying it. We will never require the services of a mortgage or a loan officer or bank, because we'll never have a need, because God said he supplied all our needs. See, you can quote it, but it's different when you believe it. And that's exactly what happened. So when people say, is it a sin to have a loan or a mortgage? No more than it's a sin to go to the doctor, but it's not God's best. God healed without doctors, medicine, or hospitals, and God supplies without banks and loans and interest rates going to the heathen. So when people say that some things that you do need a loan, what to go get a loan, you can't just go ask the bank for $7 million. Hey, can I borrow $7 million? If I ask them that, what's their next question? For what? There has to be a need to ask for the money. And the Bible tells me that as I have dependence upon God, he'll never allow me to be in lack or need. So tell me why I would ever need a loan. And then, okay, so since we've come into the secret of debt-free living and how to do what God's called you to do without any help from, in fact, I'm going to add that to the title. How to have a ministry that has no needs. Making impact, : so remember this, guys, for tomorrow. Because I want to do it for the book. Making impact without loans, mortgages, or what should the or be? There needs to be a third thing. Loans, mortgages, or credit. Or the credit system. That's what I'll put, the credit system. Boom. How to have a ministry that has no needs, making impact without loans, mortgages, or the credit system. Now, let me hammer that home and then we're done. How do you stay debt-free? How do you stay in abundance without any need from help from any heathen bank or institution? Write this down. If God can't take me there, I don't want to go. If God can't give it to me, I don't want it. If God can't do it, let it remain undone. See, I only do what I'm commanded to do. How many churches are you planning on starting? I don't have to do that. It'll stay Pittsburgh and Fort Worth till the Lord speaks a third, and if he never speaks a third, there'll never be a third. And that way you don't end up trying to do something and asking God to you get the order and then do it. You know, if I work for Verizon and I decide to go build a store somewhere for Verizon without asking them, then I go, hey, we need the money. What do you mean we? You did that. We never authorized that. So when you do things God didn't authorize, then you're on the hook for it. We want to start 10 churches in 10 years. We want to is not a good way to begin a sentence in the ministry. The Lord said in prayer. That's different. Don't just say it. If God can't take me there, I don't want to go. If God can't give it to me, I don't want it. If God can't do it, let it remain undone. If God can't take me there, I don't want to go. If God can't give it to me, I don't want it. If God can't do it, let it remain undone. The end. Now, if you really make that your mantra, then you can't ever get into debt. Jonathan, I know you're believing for God to give you a church without having to get a mortgage, but I mean, what if it doesn't come? What if it doesn't happen? Then it won't happen. Then God can have his mouthiest servant that's always telling everybody how great he is, make him look bad. It'll never happen. He won't allow it. This is my magazine. You can just keep me on the screen. Prepare for rapid increase. This just arrived now. We sent it to all our partners. I'm believing for 1,000 new partners this week. 1,000 new partners. I'm going to send you this magazine as soon as I, of course, yeah, you can just sign up for it. If you would, just keep me on the screen. I'm going to send you this. If you would, remove the graphic from the screen. Thank you. I'm going to send you this as a way of saying thank you for being one of the 1,000 new partners. Tells about the new aircraft we received, which is a blessing, major blessing. I wrote an article called Preparing for Rapid Increase that the Lord gave me during fasting and prayer. This is definitely the best magazine that we've come out with. It has the pictures from our tour on the West Coast and in Las Vegas with Pastor Rodney. Worth having. I'm going to send that to everybody who gives today. And everyone who becomes a monthly partner, I'm going to send you that. And then I've got three books. It's the three books I've written on finances. The 20 Laws That Govern the Financial Anointing. Jesse Duplantis wrote the foreword for that. 35 Questions for Those Who Hate the Prosperity Gospel. That's my newest one. That'll help you solidify your belief in an important area. And then Financial Overflow, the first book I wrote. 10 Bible Principles to Unlock Heaven's Unending Supply. I'm going to send that to everybody that becomes a monthly partner. And then if you're a business or ministry, or you do a one-time gift of 1,000 or more, which I believe the Lord's going to speak to people to make a move. You've been a little slack in your giving. You're believing for a year of rapid increase and you want to make a move today. Anyone that does 1,000 or more, I'm going to send you Understanding Financial Prosperity by Bishop David Oyedepo, which God used this book. Two of his books that changed my life. This is one of them. And I mean changed my life. So Fred said, how do I become a partner? RevivalToday.com. You click give now. It's a prominent button, or you can go to revivaltoday.com/give. Here's the individual ways to give, and then it'll give you the option to do recurring giving. Revivaltoday.com, you click give now. Revivaltoday.com, and you click give now. You can mail a check, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. So we have about four, we have, in the beginning, we were believing for 1,000 monthly partners, and we hit that years ago. We've got about 15,000 regular givers into the ministry. But I believe there's going to be another 1,000. I believe there's a lot of people that didn't even know there's a thing to partner with the ministry. The only reason you haven't is you didn't even know. And now you know and you want to do it. So that's, I'm just accommodating it. Good to see you in Zambia, Brenda. Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. $84 a month is $1,000 a year. That's 21 bucks a week. That's basically about three coffees at Starbucks. But sporadic seed, sporadic harvest. Consistent seed, consistent harvest. I'm glad I don't just give to Bishop Dagg when I see him or when he runs across my mind. In making it a $20,000 a month thing, then there's just a continual flow of blessing that comes back. Because if I rely on just when I feel like it, then I don't always feel like giving. But when there's just standard seed sowing, then it comes back. Put the last slide back up. No, the address. There you go. After you give, go to revivaltoday.com, claim my offer, and then we'll make sure you have your name and address for all that. If you'd like to become a partner by phone, you can do that right now. 412-446-2332. If all the online talk confuses you and you want to talk to a human being, and we don't outsource that, your call's not going to go to Bangalore. It's going to go upstairs, and you're going to talk to one of our people. Revivaltoday.com or 412-446-2332. Thanks, Cliff. Love you. Thanks for all the partners. I mean, if there's anything I don't take for granted or take lightly, it's that. 412-446-2332. I look forward to hearing from you as the Lord gives us another intake of people that will stand with us. And together, we're going to do a lot. And then secondly, you're going to see a lot happen. Sporadic seed, sporadic harvest, consistent seed, consistent harvest. You'll enjoy being a partner in this ministry.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.